O Spirit, I bow to thee in front of me, behind me, to the left, and on the right. I bow to thee above and beneath. I bow to thee all around me. I bow to thee within and without. I bow to thee everywhere, for thou art everywhere. That's the sacred demand of the infinite, number one, from Whispers for Eternity. This book, and there's been several incarnations, as it were, several different editions of this book, of Whispers from Eternity. I think it's a favorite of mine. It's one of Yogananda's first books. It was, I think, first published in 1929. It wasn't his first, but it was in that era when not many things had been published. This particular edition was something that Swami Kriyananda had edited not that long ago, in the 2000s at any rate. I don't remember what year exactly. 99% or whatever the number of the words are still Yogananda's words, but Kriyananda just edited it so that it feels more current. And part of why I really like that is that these whispers are things that should be, the way I hold it is, said in my voice. Yogananda's words, but my voice. Many people have talked about how important Yogananda talked, that Yogananda thought these were really important. In fact, on the back of this book, it's written, Yogananda wrote in How to Be Happy All the Time, "There are three Bibles from which I draw my inspiration, the Christian Bible, the Hindu Bhagavad Gita, and my Whispers from Eternity, which were given to me by God." And I think that's one of the things I really enjoy, is that given to Yogananda by God, given to us by Yogananda, for me personally, these teach me how to relate to God. The way I was brought up, the relationship was not only just subservient, but the little me and the omniscient and big God. And this makes that relationship more personal. The way, if it's my voice, Yogananda's words, I can relate to almost every and any aspect of life. It's covered in one or more of these. That's the other part of this. There's so many different prayer demands, the eloquence, the fancy words that he uses, the words that are really not really words. Some of them are humorous, some of them are really serious, very devotional. There's the whole gamut of life. I could read this book and only this book, and I don't know if I could find ultimate happiness, the soul realization from this, but maybe, if it's one of the three Bibles. Oftentimes, people will just sort of thumb through and pick one at random and read it, and I certainly do that often, and that's a great way to do this. Other people will read it from the beginning and just kind of go page by page through it. Neither is better or worse than the other. I probably tend to just thumb through more often than anything else. There's also Swami Kriyananda recording of him reading this whole book, where each one is a different chapter, as it were, so you can play it on a repeat in a loop if you want. Treasures Along the Path has those, I know. But there's a couple of parts in the beginning and towards the end that I want to focus on here today. And in particular, it's not labeled as a foreword, but that's really what it was that Yogananda wrote back in the original edition. It's only a few paragraphs that I'd like to read from that. Whispers from Eternity. I was deaf, but eternity whispered to me unceasingly. My wisdom's hearing power slowly woke, and I heard the whispers of eternity becoming ever clearer in response to my sacred demands. I asked eternity, "What do thy whispers mean?" The whispers grew stronger until at last, quite suddenly, eternity answered, "Hear the voice of uninterrupted guidance. I am God's spokesman, eternity. I have whispered to thee through thy slumber of ages, awake. Now thou art awake, and my whispers will never cease from saying, wake all thy brothers." In sleeping minds everywhere, my whispers constantly work. Work thou with me through living eternal whispers that all may hear his voice. I replied to eternity, I will send whispers to all my sleeping brothers saying, awake, get ready, come home to his perennial peace. And I will borrow thy voice, eternity, when my earthly voice can be no more heard. Then I will continue to utter through thee, oh, listen to his all-solacing soul whispers. I shall wait for all, uttering to them eternity's whispers, as my countless human brothers, and also beasts and atom sparks, all slowly travel toward their own final freedom, their long train seemingly endless. I will softly say through these whispers from eternity, awake, let us all together go home, following the whispered summons of his ever-calling voice. Wow, or as some people would say, my, my. Those are powerful words. Sometimes we skip over those introductions, those forewords, and there's such wisdom there. There's such grist for the mill, so to speak, to really help us along the path. That voice, even after Paramahansa was gone, he was promising his voice, these words, will still be able to be accessible for any of us, for all of us. As I said, there's several ways of going through this book, of going through these whispers. Many of them are very short. That one that I read in the beginning is one of the shorter ones. I think there's one other that's just even slightly shorter. Not many of them are very long. They at most take only a few moments. So they're very accessible in that way. As many of you know, we tend to read one of these each Sunday during our Sunday service. And there's all different sections. He has these organized by sections in different ways. Towards the end, he has a grouping here of poems. And there's a couple, I'm not going to read them, but I want to mention these two poems in particular because they're important. One is Samadhi. There's that famous story that many of us know, how Yogananda sort of camped out on a subway in New York City, made himself invisible. How he did that, I don't know. And in essence, described Samadhi in a way that, in one sense, makes it accessible, but in another way, because I, for one, am not there, it's still otherworldly. So there's all kinds of words there that it's very difficult to understand, but they're very important. So rather than just putting them on a shelf and returning to them later, he recommended that we all memorize Samadhi and say it every day. Now, I know I don't personally say it every day. I'd like to. I'm just not there yet. But I do read it often. I enjoy it. The other poem is one that when I first came across it, just felt like it was something that he was reminiscing. It's called My India. But then I realized those literally were his final words. Right before he passed, his Mahasamadhi, there was India had gained its independence, and the newly appointed ambassador to the United States was in Los Angeles. And there was a large dinner that Yogananda attended, and he recited My India. Now, he knew that evening, in advance, he knew that he was going to be passing. Swami Kriyananda wrote about this in The New Path. No one else really understood the significance of what was happening. But knowing that he was going to pass, he knew in advance those were going to be his final words. That makes it important. Now, I'm obviously not from India. I've never actually even been there. But knowing that, I can read My India and make it My India. We all can. It's that accessible. But there's another poem here that I'd like to close with. It's one of my favorites. I read it often. Part of why I read it is I don't understand it completely, so it gives me something to aspire to, but it's inspiring. There's also elements of it that I think I can understand. I can catch glimpses of it every now and then. It's whimsical. There's words in here that are fun. This is the poem. It's called Flight. It's not that long. It's relatively short. So I'd like to end this section by reading Flight for you. I closed my eyes and saw the skies of dim opalescent infinity spread around me. The gray chariot of the dawn of awakening, decked with lights giving subtle vision, came and took me away. I zoomed through space, bored through the mysterious ether, passed through age-hidden spiral nebulae, and soared willy-nilly on and on, left, right, north, south, above, below. I found no landing. But going into distracting tailspins, I spun through limitlessness. I whirled through eternal banks of lights until, bit by bit, my chariot melted into that all-transmuting flame. My body melted in that purifying fire. My thoughts melted in that consuming blaze. And my feelings all became pure liquid light.